Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The tares were weeds which grew in the wheat fields. Their roots became entangled with the roots of the wheat, and it was almost impossible to tell them apart until the heads of the tares and the top of the good grain formed and filled out. So it was the practice to leave them to grow together until the harvest. Then the heads of the tares could be cut off and burned, and after the grain was threshed, workers could separate the grains of the tares from the wheat. This parable deals with the problem of evil in the kingdom of heaven, and what should we be done about this disturbing presence among God's people? Our Lord gives us the answer. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and then they will be separated. He tells us to trust the Lord of the harvest to make the final decision. We heard a passage today from the work of the prophet Habakkuk, who spoke at the time that the Babylonians invaded the Holy Land, carried many people into exile, and then, in 586 BC, destroyed Jerusalem. As he looked in anguish at what was happening to the chosen people, he could not refrain from asking God, "Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" In the answer that came to him, he did not say why this happened, though other prophets had often warned that the people's worship of idols and immoral behavior would bring God's judgment upon them. But he did state that the righteousness and the righteous would be vindicated, and that they must put their confidence in God and remain faithful. He spoke of a vision that awaits in time, a vision of the divine justice that would inevitably come. Therefore, God's people must have faith in him. He declared, "The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." God appears to be ignoring all this evil that is coming upon his people, but that is not the case. Instead, he also will be vindicated, because, says Habakkuk, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Many centuries later, the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews took up the ancient prophet's theme of just how the just will live. He urged his readers to have patience in the service of God and called for the faith that endures in Hebrews 10. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of those that believe to the saving of the soul." We must trust the Lord in all things, who said, "Let both grow together until the harvest." He not only admonished us to do this, but he also set the example himself in how he worked with his disciples. He knew for a long time that Judas was going to turn against him, but he never expelled him from the circle of the 12. After the feeding of the 5,000 and the long discussion about it the next day, many of Christ's followers left him because they could not accept all that he said about himself as the bread of God from heaven. St. Peter pledged the disciples' loyalty to the Lord, but Christ replied, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Then St. John explained in John 6, "He spake of Judas, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him." Much later, 6 days before his crucifixion, Jesus and his disciples were at a dinner in the home of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, at Bethany, a town near Jerusalem. During the meal, as Lazarus and his guests reclined at the table, Mary anointed Jesus' feet with a costly ointment or perfume. Judas protested her action and said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Christ rebuked him and graciously accepted what Mary had done. The writer of the fourth gospel explained that Judas objected not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box he used to take what was put into it. At the Last Supper, our Lord made this sorrowful prediction to his disciples. One of you will betray me. When they asked who it was, he replied, "He to whom I shall give this morsel when I have dipped it." Then he gave it to Judas, who later went out into the night to betray the Lord. Judas' character and intentions were known for a long time, but it was he who removed himself from the group of disciples. We have no record that the others in this fellowship tried to put him out, nor did they or the Lord think that they were too good to associate with him. He who will be the judge of all did not expel Judas, but followed his own teaching. Let both grow together until the harvest. What Jesus is telling us is that we must be cautious when it comes to discerning what is really good and what is really bad. We as humans tend to be very quick to judge, certain that we know what in life ought to be preserved and what deserves to be destroyed. This parable suggests that we should not be so certain and not too hasty to act on our imagined or perceived truths. God's overall plan and the working out of his purposes extend far beyond what we can see in front of our noses. Even the most rigid people among us will have to admit that life shows us vast amounts of gray. We cannot be absolutely sure about the meaning of everything that happens. We cannot be sure about the effect of every idea that everyone holds or the final destiny of everyone we disagree with. Many times it is difficult to grasp even the contents of our own hearts. In today's epistle, St. Paul applies the parable to our relationship with other people. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He tells us that instead of being quick to weed, we should forgive, put up with what other people do, and strive for peace. We are all members of the same body. We are all in this together. If parts of the body are at war with one another and are not in harmony, then the whole body will be affected badly. In the epistle, it is suggested that it is far better to sing hymns and read psalms together than to quarrel and hold grudges. Following both the command and the example of its Lord, the Christian fellowship is always to be loving and forgiving and to leave judgment and division to God Almighty. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.